You're listening to Talking Travel, your number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism. Broadcasting live from Florida's Sun Coast on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Don't forget you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's the travel guys, Marcus and Roy.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Roy. You're listening to Talking Travel on the Travel Talk Radio Network. And we've got some great guests for you today. Our guests today are going to be Mr. Evan Eggers, president of O2Cruise.com with his cruise news update. We're going to have Marilee McInnes from Southwest Airlines. And that'll be interesting because they've just experienced a 22% increase in fuel costs over the last 2 days. We've got travel journalist Hans Tomamugi with a Destination Canada report, and of course Johnny Jett will be taking us to Rome and London. So stay tuned or you might miss out on our travel updates, fun places to go, and still have money in your pocket to spend when you get there.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again.
Well, good morning, Evan, and of course, as always, we're joined by Evan Eggers for our cruise update. Hurricane
Good morning, Marcus.
How are you?
Hi, Marcus. Hi, Roy. I'm great. You guys?
Good.
We're doing just great. Thank you.
Hurricane Katrina, as we know, has caused horrific damage in the seaport of New Orleans, Gulfport, and the surrounding areas. And from what I've been following in the news, the port of New Orleans is saying if they get electrical power back, they'll be up and running in a rather short period of time. But What does one do if you've booked a cruise out of any seaport in the event of a hurricane, and what's the policy of the cruise lines?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, Marcus, and I guess there's a couple answers to that. One is, yeah, I've heard the same thing that you have. The Port of New Orleans, there's, you know, even though they may be open for freight, I haven't really heard them say anything specific about the passenger terminal or what might happen down there. And one thing I want to start out with is, although everybody has to keep in mind, those of us in the vacation business, the cruise business, whether you're a travel agent or a, you know, cruise line employee, our problems are so trivial compared to what the people in New Orleans and the other affected areas are going through.
Isn't that the truth?
And, you know, cruise lines are blessed, cruise ships are blessed, but they can move out of the way of a storm. You know, the city's not that lucky. It's sitting there and has to take it.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we preface our remarks, the fact that all this is trivial relative to what else is going on down there, but for passengers who are thinking of booking during hurricane season, they obviously want to have travel insurance before they go. You know, in the cases like this, this is a good example where the Carnival Conquest now, which is home ported in New Orleans, it returned to Galveston, and although it's in dry dock right now, which was fortunate, after it returned from this cruise it was on during the hurricane, it returned to Galveston. But the Carnival was kind to let the passengers stay on board overnight if they wanted to in case they had to make arrangements. But now that ship is in dry dock for a couple of weeks. We'll see what happens when it comes back out.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the other home ported ship that Carnival has, the Sensation in New Orleans, it's just sailing. They've already announced that through September 5th, it'll be sailing round trip from Galveston instead of from New Orleans.
That's right. And, I mean, they had all sorts of problems with the Miracle and the Inspiration. And
yeah, they did. They did. It's when the Katrina version 1, the first landfall that it made over in Florida, So basically, the Tampa home-ported ships couldn't make it back, as you say, into Tampa, and they went up to Fort Lauderdale instead.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit more minor. People were separated from their cars, but the cruise lines were very good. When the ship went back to the unexpected destination, the cruise lines had arranged buses and whatnot to transport people back to their cars.
Right, and what's interesting is that they moved from Miami to Fort Lauderdale, and Fort Lauderdale really got the brunt of it.
Yeah, that's right. That is true. And it's over on the Gulf side, the Tampa departures had to move to Fort Lauderdale altogether, and they kind of missed it because they came back later. But yeah, in general, I mean, just for people listening to know what the cruise lines do is they just juggle where the ships come from and to. They try to coordinate as best they can to provide bus transportation when the ship is going someplace different than where it was supposed to, out of or back into. But then you've got cases like the poor people who are on the Conquest. I mean, they traveled to New Orleans, back into Galveston. When will they see their cars again if they drove down to the port? That's pretty...
If ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's right.
And that got a lot of television coverage, and some of the coverage wasn't good because it appeared that Carnival just left them stranded. They said, well, we've got you here, now find your own way home. And some of them had to charter buses and rent cars and all sorts of stuff. It didn't look as if Carnival was being what we would consider responsible. What are your views on that?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that these situations fall into one or two cases, and having spoken directly to people with the cruise lines involved, either one or two things happen. So let's take as an example the Tampa situation where the ship sailed out of Tampa and back to Port Everglades or something else like that. When it's all within Florida, they have an infrastructure in place. They know the bus lines. They can arrange it on a moment's notice and get people transported to and fro across the state for those port switcheroos in Florida.
Right.
Now, when you have a situation like New Orleans back to Galveston, they don't really have the infrastructure. They don't have the bus companies lined up. They don't have standing contracts. And I can tell you, although they would like to do more, frequently they can't when it's a very unusual situation like that. And I have no doubt that that on the front lines in Galveston when people are getting off, it may well have seemed as if it was an uncaring response by the cruise line, but it's just as likely to be that they simply were overwhelmed as well by the last-minute nature of everything and couldn't line it up the way they could in there, in Florida.
Right, right. And there were a number of comments made. Carnival gave people $150 credit for their next cruise, and... people saying, $150 isn't going to cut it for me.
Well, yeah, and I'm not going to single out Carnival.
Yeah,
I've certainly had cases. There have been a lot of situations in the past where some kind of inconvenience occurs of one scope or another, and I personally felt that the cruise line compensation wasn't quite what it should have been. And we joke around the office is that the cruise lines, it's kind of funny, they deliver a fantastic onboard product.
Yep.
But when you have a problem or deal with the back office or some problem crops up, that and hopefully a customer's travel agent is insulating them from this, it can be kind of annoying.
Okay.
I mean, these are big companies, and I have yet to meet a big company that doesn't have a bureaucracy behind the scenes.
Yeah, right. And,
on board, it's all good, but if you got to deal with the bureaucracy behind the scenes after the fact or whatever, it can be a little annoying.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that most of the cruise lines have a tropical weather update web page, and one might want to go to that and check it out for whichever cruise line you're going on.
Oh, and that's the easiest way by far. If you're actually trying to get on a cruise and you wonder what's going on, trying to call, the phone lines will be jammed, and you're right, the cruise lines are very good about keeping their home pages update with a link that says tropical weather update or something else, where you can find out exactly what's going on without spending a lot of time. But, and once again, I'll say again, get travel insurance. So, Marcus, back to the situation in Galveston you spoke about, if somebody had a quality travel insurance plan, they would be able to call up their travel insurance provider's hotline number. They can call toll-free or collect.
Yep.
And they'll help facilitate, getting that person back to where they need to be.
And we've spoken many, many times about travel insurance, and just here it is, once again, just being reinforced for all of our listeners, the fact that travel insurance is vital. And
yep.
And good quality, as you say, quality travel insurance.
Absolutely. What about ships at sea?
Well, as we said at the beginning here, is that fortunately the cruise ships can move. So there will be situations where, especially with a hurricane of this size, I have no doubt that some people who were even out in the Eastern Caribbean were getting some rocking and rolling from this.
I would think.
I'm sure there was some fun being had by all, yes. But the ships, they do get out of the way. They get out of the way of the storm. Safety is the number one priority.
Right,
they see things coming, they give them a wide berth, And people who are at sea, you know, they just don't have problems that way. Very, very rarely does a storm surprise a cruise line and cause any kind of a major issue on board.
Yeah.
I mean, only once in the past 5 years that I can think of, and that was not even a hurricane. It was just a storm on the East Coast when the Norwegian Dawn had some windows blasted out by a rogue wave.
No, that's right. I don't remember that, yeah. And that was a rogue wave.
Mm-hmm. It was a rogue wave. It was a storm. It wasn't a hurricane. It was a rogue wave. And the last time a rogue wave really made the news was, heck, it was probably 20 years ago when I think it was either the original, I think it was Queen Elizabeth or the original Queen Mary, one of the two was out in the Atlantic. And if I read. Anyway, that's very rare.
Yeah.
Not even worth
mentioning. And I would think it will be a long time before they ever, whether the port gets open or not, for whatever reasons, it's going to be a long time before they start operating out of New Orleans again.
Well, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, the latest news this morning, I don't know if you saw it, they're moving people from the Superdome to Houston's Astrodome. Recently.
Yep.
And, I mean, the fact the city's still filling up with water, I mean, you know, the day after the hurricane, people were thinking, oh, it wasn't so bad. And now, of course, it's been this slow-motion disaster unfolding. So
you could see the water coming over the levees. You know, it was just incredible.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing New Orleans cruises for a while here.
Yeah, if we ever see New Orleans again, that's pretty well devastated at the moment.
Yeah, not only cruises, but I have a certain involvement with Wheel of Fortune, and they were taping in New Orleans. And they did about 2 days of taping, and then they attempted to move their people out as the warnings were getting worse. And they had all kinds of problems getting them by bus over to Texas. It was really quite an amazing feat.
Well, I'm sure.
So a lot of people have been affected by it, obviously. And
absolutely.
We wish
our thoughts are going down south right now. That's for sure.
That's for sure. All right, Evan. Well, great talking to you once again. And
Have a great show, and next week we'll try and come up with some good news.
That's a great idea.
We've got to see how your tape measure came out on that ship.
Exactly. I measured every nook and cranny. I checked the welds where the new section was slid, and I checked it for leaks. It looks all good.
It's all good. Yeah, the world is sound and all that sort of stuff.
All good.
I'm glad
the
world will be happy to hear about that.
Yes.
Look forward to it, Evan.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Well, Evan's always good at it, and comes up with all sorts of interesting stuff. Not today is not the best news day, but anyway.
But you know, it does reinsure you, and as you say, about the insurance,
about the travel insurance.
And that the cruise lines are on top of it.
Yeah.
And that's certainly an important issue.
Well, now we need to get to our travel industry stories, and they're brought to you in part by USA 3000 Airlines, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Fort Myers, and Fort Lauderdale to Chicago O'Hare, Cleveland, Newark, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Pittsburgh. Isn't it time you tried USA 3000?
And you know, USA 3000 expanding their service to a lot of places. They're starting to go to Nassau, not out of the Florida area, but out of the northern cities and some other places. So check their website. Check it out. Or go to our website, ttrn.com, and click on USA 3000. What do you got?
There's some doom and gloom news this morning that came out. The airlines have experienced a 22% increase in fuel cost in the last 2 days. That's 22% in 2 days. And the pundits are all tipping that we'll probably see 5 or 6 major carriers go under as a result of Katrina. Just the straw that broke the camel's back. And, I certainly hope it's not the case. We have Southwest Airlines on today, and Southwest is one of two. JetBlue is the other one. One of two airlines that look like they're going to survive the onslaught because they're trading very profitably and very well. Of course, the others are really having some fun, but we'll see what happens.
And they're probably hedging their fuel prices. So
But it's almost impossible to do that in this situation because they're going to be charging. The fuel companies are charging surcharges, and they, pay it or don't get the fuel. It's as simple as that. Fuel is in very, very short supply and going to get worse. And we've seen it at the gas station when you fill up your car over the last 24 hours.
What did you see this morning? Yesterday was about $1.63, I think.
Today the best I saw was $2.69, and they're speculating that it'll go up by about 50 cents a gallon in the next week. So
I'm looking forward to that.
Fill your cars up, guys, and make sure they're full. Yeah, keep them full. Anyway, Delta Airlines is launching a nonstop service from Orlando to Austin, Texas on their little affiliate Freedom Airlines. And that's going to start on October 24th. They're going to be offering two daily nonstop flights from Orlando to Austin and two from Austin to Orlando. And Freedom Airlines are going to be operating the Embraer ERJ-145 regional jets on that one. On the Northwest story, and we're all familiar with what's going on with Northwest with the mechanic strike, Northwest has said, you know, we're into our second week, and we can operate indefinitely with a crew of replacement workers and outside vendors. So, you know, the mechanics might have cut off their nose to spite their face. United has announced yesterday that it signed a contract with Aircraft Maintenance and Engineering Corporation in Beijing, China, under which the Chinese company will maintain United's Boeing 777 fleet. So that's kind of interesting. And then there was the most amazing article came out of banned and blacklist airlines. And it's come out of Switzerland and France and all those crazy places over there. There's only one American airline that was affected, and that was Air St. Thomas out of the USA Virgin Islands, and they've been banned since March 2003. And in fact, the decision to ban Air St. Thomas was kind of an arbitrary decision, and Paul Wickeder, who is the CEO of Air St. Thomas, has said, "I've never injured or killed anybody in 35 years of operating an airline. I think it's a damn good safety record and speaks for itself." And in response to that, an official of the Civil Aviation Authority that published the list told the Associated Press that St. Thomas may actually remain on the list because of a technicality. Whoop-de-doo. You know, they can't fly into any of the Dutch or French islands down in the Caribbean. Anyway, we spoke a long time with Evan this morning. We've probably run out of time for our news because it's time for our next guest. But for more in-depth information on these and other news items, you can always go to our website, ttrn.com, and collect the World Travel News icon. You're listening to Talkin' Travel on the Travel Talk Radio Network and worldwide at ttrn.com. When we come back, Southwest Airlines' Merle McInnes will join us.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
We're back, and we're joined by Mary Lee McInnes of Southwest Airlines. Good morning, Mary Lee, and thank you for joining us on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
There's so many, many things happening out there in this industry, and we must say that Southwest has been one of the real survivors, and we're certainly happy to report that. And Marcus and I were just discussing a number of things earlier with all this fuel and the hedging of fuel prices. And just give us a little, just kind of touch on that a bit, if you will, on what Southwest is doing to keep things on a standard plane, so to speak.
Well, as you know, with these record fuel prices, no one in the industry is insulated from those. They're reaching records that we never thought possible. What Southwest has done is we have hedged our fuel, which means we bought it future, And that has allowed us to continue to make a profit. But as I said, with the prices at this level, no one is insulated from that. So we do other things to try and conserve fuel as well. All of our 700 aircraft have winglets. And we also use gate services at our airports, which means we plug in. We don't use our APUs or our fuel to cool and heat the aircraft. So there's a lot of things that we do and just are really keeping an eye on it.
That's very wise in this day and age. I guess you've heard the news today, and the pundits are all saying there may be two survivors out of the straw that broke the camel's back, which is Katrina, and one of those will be Southwest and the other will be JetBlue. And that's because you're operating profitably, you're operating efficiently, and you know, it's a lean, mean operating machine, and that's a great way to be in this day and age.
Well, it is, and you know, we are in an environment that is low fare.
Yep.
I mean, people will not pay high fares, and they shouldn't have to, but we are in a low fare environment, and if you're not a low cost carrier, you're going to run into some problems.
Absolutely.
It means low cost on both sides, low cost for the passengers, and keeping your costs low as well, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yep. The future of the $49 one-way fare, is it almost a thing of the past? Do you think that's going to change in the next 2 or 3 months, or do you think it's going to stay there?
I think it'll stay there. I think it'll stay there for Southwest. I think it'll stay there if JetBlue is able to do that. I don't know. But we are primarily a point-to-point short-haul carrier. We operate extremely efficiently and very leanly. So we are able to keep our prices low, and can't be a low-fare carrier if you don't have low fares.
That's right. But, you know, you wonder at times whether these ridiculously low fares, which you say are reasonable low fares, but in reality, I'm from Australia, and we've never had fares like that in Australia. And even with the low-cost carriers in Australia now, those sort of fares are not available. They operate on a different fare structure. And people coming over here from other countries where fares are what they consider to be reasonable, maybe a little high, are blown out of the water by the way of, that you can get around this country for, you know, 2 cents or a bit more.
Sure. Well, and you have seen, I'm sure you've been following it over the last, I guess, maybe 6 months. There has been some, you know, fare increases inputted by some of the legacy carriers. And even Southwest, I think some of the other carriers raised $10 to $20 each way. You know, Southwest did do a modest increase of $1 to $2. So,
right.
Of course, fuel does affect just, you know, to the level. I don't think it would ever get to the point where we would not still have low-fare competition.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
But just getting off of fuel for a moment, there's so many other things. That I, you know, being an old airline hand myself, I just think that, you know, the fares are obviously very important, but there's other things that I think Southwest has done that's even more important, and that is a people's airline. I see so many people-oriented things, and one, for example, that particularly caught my eye and interest was Maryland One, which is an aircraft now that's been flying into Baltimore, I believe, and some of the little ways that one has played it. And if I may just take a moment and talk about the delivery of Maryland One, and it was delivered on June 14th in Baltimore, and the terms that one is using on the website is it resides in 60 airports in 31 states. The length is 110 feet and 4 inches. And the genetic makeup is 24 gallons of white paint, 12 gallons of yellow, 8 gallons of red, 16 gallons of black, and 1 gallon of orange. Now, I haven't heard airplanes quite described in that manner before, and I think it's just great.
Well, thank you. Maryland One is just a real, as you see, it's just a real tribute to our customers and our success that we have had at Baltimore Washington International Airport. And, you know, it's not our first specialty plane, and that's just one thing that we like to do to just show our customers how much we appreciate them and how much we care for them.
Yeah, I believe you have 11 actual specialty planes.
We have 11.
That's quite a fleet of specialty planes.
And it identifies with the – I'm sorry, go ahead.
They're real fun to see. When you know, I still get a kick out of seeing a Maryland One or a Lone Star One or California One flying in. I mean,
yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah.
And you identify with the destination, of course.
We do. You know, we also have a Shamu, and we're the official airline of SeaWorld, and it's just fun. I mean, the kids love and have just, it makes, you know, we always say that your vacation starts when you board the plane, not when you get to your destination. So.
That's very, very true. And the in-flight experience that can make or break a vacation, as you well know. One of the other interesting things that I've seen and noticed on the website is ding. Ding. What is ding?
Well, you know, we've always said, ding, you're now free to move around the country.
That's right.
And ding is a product that we launched a few months ago that allows our customers to sign up for ding, and it puts an application on their desktop, and they will have fares, and they're the lowest fares you can find, lower than even what you would see on our website or through our Click and Save specials. But these fares will go right to their desktop, and they'll be customized for your home airport. And some of them are just astronomically low. And they'll just be available for an hour or two.
Okay.
They'll have afternoon specials or lunch specials.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing, and I think it's a really neat way to give our customers, you know, we're an impulsive society, and we like spontaneity, and you know, you're thinking about a trip, and all of a sudden this fare pops up, and it's, you know, $20 to fly, you know, from Fort Lauderdale or West Palm Beach to Raleigh-Durham or something of that nature. And so, and they're just a real fun way to get those low fares directly to the customers.
What kind of response have you had to it, Merle?
We have had phenomenal response, not only from the number of people that we've had sign up for it, which has been tremendous, but also just in it just shows, again, the innovation that Southwest Airlines has in trying to bring those low fares right to the customers. And, I mean, we are getting just absolutely phenomenal response from our customers.
Online check-in, how's it working for you?
Oh, great.
Really?
Sure. You know, everybody wants the coveted A boarding pass. And so, you know, after midnight, people can check in online the day of travel. And it is just, you know, I travel quite a bit. And it's just been interesting to me to see how many people are actually using those boarding passes. And it's almost split.
Really?
It's been very successful.
That's wonderful.
There have been a lot of takeoffs on that. Was it Marcus? Who was it that was the book that wrote the book on how to...
Oh, Flying for Peanuts.
Yeah, Flying for Peanuts. And how to get up there, get an old lady in a wheelchair.
You know who that guy is.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm betting that the TV program Airline has been wonderful for you, too, because it usually puts Southwest in a very positive and good light, and but it's fun.
Well, you know, it is, and we hope that what people will take away from that is, you know, we know things don't always go as planned, you know, that there's weather and people missing their flight or whatever it may be, but we hope that even when things don't go right, that people will see that our folks really just try and do the right thing in each situation, and sometimes it's not the thing that makes the customer happy. You know, so.
No, but communication is important, I think.
Very
important.
Nothing,
there's nothing worse than being in an airport and not getting any information, and good news or bad news, at least you know what's happening.
That's the truth. I mean, you really want to know just how long that delay is going to be or what exactly is happening. And so the program really kind of gives a bird's eye view, you know, kind of a fly on the wall approach to air travel, and we've been really pleased with it. It's really funny. The day after the show airs, it airs on Monday nights, we see our resumes almost triple, people who want to work for Southwest.
Is that right?
Yes, and you know, it's. I think that what people are saying is that our people are empowered to do the right thing and make decisions and are real leaders in their positions. So it's been real fun. We really enjoy it.
And while you're on that subject, you know, what we hear from Southwest employees is something I haven't heard in a long, long time, and I've put a lot of years in this airline industry, and that is that employees are happy and like the airline. I hate to use the word love, but, I mean, it really is family.
It really is, and Herb and Colleen from day one have really fostered that feeling, and Colleen, our president, she really handles and oversees our culture, is what we call it. And Gary Kelly, our CEO, he is the same way. And it's very interesting in companies these days. They've said from the very beginning that our people, our employees, come first. When you have happy employees, they'll take care of your customers, so your customers will keep coming back, and that in turn will make your shareholders happy because it's making money. But they've always put the employees first, and it really is. It is a family. We celebrate birthdays, and I receive a birthday card every birthday from Colleen, and we celebrate our anniversaries with the company. If you're out sick, you get good get well packages. It really does foster a feeling of family and genuine love for the company.
That's wonderful.
Great philosophy.
One of the other things that I really like is the Rapid Rewards program. And I think that's another innovative program that's been launched by Southwest. And talk just briefly about Rapid Rewards.
Well, you know, Southwest is all based on simplicity and how can we make it as customer-friendly and easy to use as possible. And you're exactly right, Mark. Rapid Rewards is exactly like that. You don't count miles, you count trips. So you make 8 round trips and you've got a ticket.
Right.
And it is so easy and it is so simple to use. And we've been actually voted numerous years as the best frequent flyer program.
I know. That's what I was hoping that you would say. I wasn't going to say it. I thought, I probably should have, but your frequent flyer program is very successful and really good. It's been wonderful talking to you, and all the very best in a very tough environment. We'll chat again sometime, I'm sure.
Well, I hope we do, because I had a wonderful time.
Thank you, Marley.
Thanks, Marley.
We enjoyed it as well.
Thanks, Roy. Thanks, Marcus.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye now. All right. You're listening to Talk and Travel with Marcus and Roy on the Travel Talk Radio Network. And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will have a wonderful, wonderful Destination Canada story for you. So stay tuned.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again.
Okay, we're back, and as promised, we're joined by Hans Tamamagi, the author of 6 books, 2 which have won prizes, and his articles have appeared in numerous magazines, newspapers, and so on across Canada. And Hans, welcome to the show once again.
Good morning, Marcus. Good morning, Roy. It's always a pleasure talking travel with you.
That's good.
This one makes me a little jealous. First of all, this is, for those listening, is the last leg of Hans's trip to his new home in a wonderful, wonderful area, and it's the Gulf Islands in British Columbia. Hans, I'm assuming this is the last leg, and you're now ensconced in your new home.
Yes, we're firmly settled here. We've been here for a few months now.
That's super. Take us on this marvelous trip, and you started out. Where did you start out from?
Well, I started out from the Niagara area of Ontario, just near Niagara Falls, just across the border
right.
from the U.S.
Right. Interesting. Bob Fisher and I will be up there in a couple of weeks.
Oh, great. Great, yeah. It's
not your area, up to the...
It's a nice area, but, it doesn't hold a match to the Gulf Islands. I have to say that right off the bat.
Yep.
Yes, but we spent 15 days driving across Canada. It was a wonderful trip, and well worth it. What really amazes me is how different living on the coast is to being in inland North America. It's just an astonishing transformation, and it's so wonderful seeing that everything is different. The trees are different, all the life that comes on the ocean, even the way of life is different. It really is a wonderful place.
I haven't spent a lot of time out there, but when you're speaking, Hans, if you just speak a little up into the phone, because it's a long distance between where you are and where we are.
And you're a little quiet.
Yeah, we don't want to miss any part of this.
You were in your station wagon, right? Loaded up to the hilt and heading across country.
That's correct.
And tell us a little bit about the final part of the journey that that got you to those beautiful archipelago?
Well, since you're mentioning archipelago, let me just sidetrack here a bit. I was telling my friend the other day that, that what a wonderful archipelago we live on. And the guy says, what's an archipelago? And I explained to him, I said, look, my friend, that's a group of really beautiful islands totally surrounded by water and envy.
Yeah, that's the big one, envy.
Yeah, well, anyway, we arrived with our station wagon, having driven across the prairies, across the mountains, and arrived here on the coast and had a wonderful stay at a floating home, a bed and breakfast at the River Run Cottages that go up and down where the houseboat goes up and down with the tides. And in the morning we got up and we drove in a beautiful sunny day down to the Vancouver ferry dock, a huge terminal for ferries called Swanson, where we boarded a ferry and then proceeded to go out into the ocean and through dozens of islands, passing other ferries and fishing boats and tugboats. It really, it was just dazzling.
Now, there are five main islands, is that correct?
There's actually 225 altogether.
I blew it off on that one.
Yeah, and six or seven of them are what you'd call major islands that
right.
have ferry service. Yeah, the rest are you just have to get to them on your own.
Now, what was your first stop?
We stopped actually on the way in at two other islands. One was the first one was Galliano, named after one of the early Spanish explorers. Then we went to Main Island, and then from there we changed ferries and came across to Pender Island, which is where we live.
Okay.
And it's also, you know, there's also a liqueur called Galliano as well, and it's Italian, so that's kind of an interesting mix there.
Yeah, well, there are some liquor stores on the island here. They carry that very brand.
Yeah.
Well, that's encouraging that there's some liquor stores out there, because if there aren't, I mean, what could a guy do? I mean, you can only do so much kayaking, I guess.
Yeah, well, there certainly is a lot to do in addition to that. Hiking, biking, and sea kayaking are really my three favorites. But there's also boating. There's some fabulous boating and actually a sport called disc golf. Pender Island has one of the top disc golf courses in all of North America. And this is where you throw something like a frisbee at a pole and instead of at a hole, but you keep score just like in golf. There's par and bogeys and so on.
And they call it golf.
They do, yes.
Yeah, and you take a 12-pack with you.
Many people do.
The personalities of the islands, are they different?
They are. They are. Not to a great deal, but they're certainly very different from the mainland. The way of life here is extremely relaxed. There are no traffic jams. There's no road rage. Never heard of a case of ferry rage yet. And there's a lot of artists and writers on these islands. And I guess the one island that stands out from the others is Salt Spring Island. That's probably the best known of the other Gulf islands.
Right.
And it really has a very large artist community. And you can get anything there from painting to pottery to stained glass windows and so on. And on their Saturday morning fairs, where all these artists come out and display their goods, it really is a wonderful place to be. And it's a wonderful, art to be purchased and even just to be enjoyed looking at. Now, because of that, Salt Spring is also one of the largest ones. It's a bit more developed. It has more, bigger roads and more restaurants and things like that. Some of the islands, like, for example, Saturna Island, it only has 300 occupants.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine that the facilities there are pretty limited.
Uh-huh.
There's really just camping and some bed and breakfast. I don't think there's a hotel on the place. And the roads, again, are, they're very small, as on Pender. Like, my island has about 2,000 inhabitants, but there's no shoulders on the road. But the fastest you can drive anywhere is about 40 miles an hour because it curves so much and so on. So there's some islands are far more rustic and backward. Not backward, but just in a more undeveloped state than other ones.
Right. And the accommodation on the islands, for instance, your house, is it a regular house, a cottage, a log cabin? And what's the style of housing?
The style of housing would be more along, I'd say, fancy cottage style, to just regular, well, ranging across the whole spectrum, in fact, of all the things you said. But our house is being built right now, and it's going to be a regular house, but it's on a nice hill, so it's got a wonderful views out onto the ocean with all the islands dotted through it. And our property is quite long and linear down a hill. So we have a cabin or a guest cottage halfway down the hill. It's in the middle of the forest.
Oh, okay.
So we have the best of both.
Best of both worlds. You've got the cottage and the house, and the cottage is in nature's wonderland, and the house is going to have the view of nature's wonderland.
and it sounds still like one of these places that hasn't been overbuilt, and that there's still land and forest.
That's right. Pender Island is very nice that way. It's about 10 or 20 years behind Salt Spring in terms of its development, and right now it is really, we can go out and hike one of the most beautiful paths here to a vista overlooking the ocean, which my wife and I often do towards sunset, and enjoy a glass of wine overlooking the ocean and not see another person the whole time.
Right.
You know, this is the middle of summer when it's the busy season. So it really is nice that way.
What is the winter season like there?
Roy, I don't know because
I haven't had a chance. But Vancouver and that area, it's such a beautiful area. I really haven't spent any time there. I've been through there, but I'd like to spend some time there at some point. But what's the general overview of weather in that area?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. That really is one of the most best features of this area. The Gulf Islands lie in the rain shadow of the Olympics. So the Olympics kind of wring all the moisture out of the clouds and then send what little is left over us. So, for example, we've just gone through 6 weeks where it only rained once, and that was at night.
Mm.
Every day has been a carbon copy of the others. They're all beautiful, sunny days, and so on. Now, when the moisture is in the sea, it carries on, and the winds carry on to Vancouver, they rise up the mountain there and cause it to rain again. So Vancouver actually gets a lot of rain compared to us, as do the other areas around us. But the Gulf Islands are beautifully sheltered. Now, in the winter, you asked about that, it does get a bit rainier then, but the summers here is and stormier as well.
But what about temperature?
Sorry?
What about temperature?
There in the, it stays almost entirely in the 70s throughout the summer. Like, we do get some heat waves where it might go up to 80s, high 80s, but generally during the day it's in the 70s.
Right.
It's settled 70s.
The source of water on Pender Island, is that spring water, bore water, or caught rainwater?
Yeah, it's mostly caught rainwater in a few lakes.
Okay.
So our drinking water actually comes from some small lakes, and because it's so dry in the summertime, we do have real water shortages and forest fire problems.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
another feature that's very nice here is that there's no mosquitoes.
Oh, wow, that's
not only do we have wonderful, one epic, glorious scenery for sea kayaking and boating,
mm-hmm.
but we have a wonderful climate and no mosquitoes, so you can sit out at night and enjoy it all.
That's wonderful, yeah. And electricity, diesel generated?
It actually comes from off-island by cable.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure. There's some large power plant somewhere. I think it's coal-fired. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
On Vancouver Island that supplies us.
But it's that's interesting that they've cabled the electricity from one island to the other.
Yeah.
I guess they're close enough to be able to do that.
Quite an operation.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, it sounds idyllic.
Yes, it is. And, life by the ocean is just so soothing, just listening to those waves going up and down and, you know, watching the sparkle on the waves and boats, sailboats puffing past. It is really a nice life.
Now, the body of water you're talking about, ocean, is?
It's actually the Strait of Georgia.
Right.
The Gulf Islands are directly north of the San Juans in the U.S. In fact, it's part of the same geologic formation. And so we're actually protected by Vancouver Island. And therefore, we don't really get very large storm, like very large surf or anything like that. But again, for boating, deep kayaking and so on. It's just idyllic.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe there's quite a history on Pender Island of the coastal Salish natives that lived there.
Yes, that's a good point, Mark. There's actually, I discovered a wonderful, wonderful example of a midden that dates back to about 6,000 or 8,000 years ago, when the natives have had a long-standing village where the two islands, Pender Island is actually two little islands, and where they join, where they meet, has been a spot of camping and encampment, and where the natives have lived off the ocean for millennia. And there's you can actually see, it's just like an archaeological textbook. You can see layers and layers of the broken shells from where they've been eating the shellfish from the ocean that are yards thick and perfectly layered shells in an archaeological formation there. It's just absolutely stunning to look at.
Fascinating.
It sounds terrific. You know, Marcus, yep. I think we ought to give him a surprise visit when we find out that this house is ready.
Indeed.
You chaps would be more than welcome.
Thank you, Hans.
Hans, it's been beautiful talking to you again, and really, really enjoy your articles. It's a shame that you've reached home, because we're not going to be able to follow your travels getting there again, but I know that we're going to be able to follow your experiences and travel elsewhere and time spent elsewhere, so we'll look forward to that. Thanks for talking to us this morning. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye now. All right, you're listening to Talking Travel with Marcus and Roy. Don't go away, because when we come back, Johnny Jett will join us wherever in the world Johnny happens to be.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fare starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Like Johnny Jett music to me there, Marcus.
That was a little, wasn't it? Yeah. I wonder if he's on the phone. Yeah. Johnny, are you out there somewhere?
I'm out here, but that's not Johnny Jett music.
Oh, come on, it has to be. You've traveled so far and wide that you have to have been in that sort of an area, and I know that on the video on last week's newsletter, there was some beautiful Italian music, so you have a wide taste.
He's a well-rounded fellow, yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't think I'd be jamming Ricky Martin.
Okay.
Anyway, I understand we're going to take a little trip to Rome and London. Is that correct, Mr. Jett?
Yeah, I was lucky to hang out in Rome and London for a couple days.
Incidentally, I like the layout of your newsletter. From a reading standpoint, it works out pretty good, but when I went to print this stuff out, I got a lot of pages of pictures. And it looks good, I think, from a...
It didn't go over that well.
Pardon?
It didn't go over that well with the readers.
Is that right?
Actually, I think more hated it, but I wish it was just everyone hated it.
And then you could make a decision.
Yeah, because it's almost split.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I like the old version. Because it's readable, and if you want to see the photos, you can look at the photos. But the last one you did with the about Cliento and Capri. The video at the end of it really had almost all of the photos and some of the movie that you took, and it was great. I mean, that just told the whole story in pictures and video. But I got to ask you one thing. I know you have a fear of heights.
Yes.
And that article about Capri, you were on a single chairlift, right?
Yep.
And you were looking down a cliff of some thousands of feet. How did you cope?
Oh, wait, before you answer that question, obviously Marcus didn't listen to the show last week where you explained all that in at length. But go ahead.
Yeah,
just
I could not believe that you managed to do
that. The cliff wasn't that bad.
It wasn't?
Because once you get to the top, the last little portion of it got kind of hairy, but not for anybody, just for me. People afraid of heights.
Yeah.
But once you get to the top and you're on land, then you look straight down. So luckily I wasn't over that steep.
Dangling.
Otherwise, I would have been a dead man.
Well, let's go on to Rome.
Yeah,
well, from Capri, I jumped on a 45-minute ferry, went to Naples, and then I was, and the ferries are so cheap, it cost like €9, which is like $12.
Right.
And then from there, I took a taxi, like a €10 taxi to the train station, which is like 10 minutes away, and then jumped on a 2-hour train to Rome.
How long was the train ride?
Two hours.
Oh, 2 hours, okay.
And, we went to check into a 4-star hotel, Empire Palace Hotel. It was a really nice hotel, but it was a few blocks away from everything. And so you had to walk, late at night, you're walking down these dark streets and there's no one around, so that's kind of scary. But, if you take taxis and everything, there's no problem at all. And we were right near the American Embassy, a few blocks away from there.
Right.
Which is on Via Veneto, which is one of the most famous streets in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
you stopped to get a pizza on the way, right?
Oh, yeah. We got some pizza and some pasta. But have you been to Rome lately?
Not lately, but...
It really bummed me out this time.
Really?
Really?
Walking around, there are so many Chinese guys selling Chinese stuff.
Chinese?
They're not like selling Italian stuff. They're selling Chinese stuff.
Good heavens.
Like, you want your name written in, like, Chinese calligraphy.
Right.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? What did you do in Hong Kong?
Right.
I mean, who goes to Italy to get their name written in Chinese?
How strange.
So it was like, I didn't feel like I was in Rome. I mean, there's all kinds of, minorities there. It's like New York City. It's not like, all these Italian people running around.
Yeah, I mean,
Africans, and they're all selling, but they're selling, like, fake handbags, which are Italian handbags. At least they're selling something Italian, but even though it's made in China, probably.
Did you turn around to some of these Italian guys and say, hey, what's going on here with these Chinese guys?
All over. In the restaurants, the help are from India or, Bangladesh. Different. It's a different Rome than I remember.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there must have been a lot of Chinese food.
I didn't have any Chinese food. That's where I draw the line. obviously the architecture is just...
It's stunning. Yeah.
It's just, walking around. If you can walk around and, with love.
But aside from all the Chinese, was it comfortable? It was safe, and the city is just as beautiful as it always was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how. I mean, there you always have to worry about,
your pocket.
It's just like being in New York City. It's nothing different than New York City. You're not gonna get shot or anything like that. But no, so it's safe, and there's all the plenty of places to go. We went to the Colosseum,
right.
And the line was seriously 90 minutes long. It was around the corner, and I was like, there's no way I'm waiting in this line.
Wow.
So I told my buddy Mike, I said, listen, we're just going right to the front to see what we can work. And so, we just walked to the front, and there was another window next to the ticket window where all these people are waiting, but there was no one in this window. And the reason why is because they sell tours. So you get a tour guide for €3.50 more, which is like $4.50.
And you're in a private...
$4.50 more, you can get a tour, and you get right into the Colosseum instead of waiting for...
Instead of waiting for 90 minutes to just wander in by yourself and have a look around.
That's a really good tip, because You know, then you get all the great background information as well, because I don't care how good your history is, who can remember, you know?
Oh, yeah, but even if you're not going to take the tour, pay for the tour so you don't have to wait 90 minutes.
Well, exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a good tip for those of you listening out there. If you get over to the Coliseum, go to that other window where there isn't any line and take that tour. That's a good one, Johnny.
Yeah, and there's even a better tip because your ticket to the Coliseum lets you get into the Palatine Hill, Palatino.
Oh, yeah.
Nearby. So if you go there, there is no one there in line. You buy a ticket there and then walk over to the Coliseum and just walk right to the front of the line and just put your ticket in the machine.
Oh, wow. That's even better.
So you don't have to pay for a tour. But, I mean, either way, the tour is worth it because I did do the tour.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot.
That's always a good idea.
One thing I learned is that, you know, the tour guide said it wasn't just like the movie Gladiator. She said the only thing about Gladiator that was great was that they really did a good job showing the building.
Right.
But yeah, otherwise, you're right. The movie wasn't anything special.
It wasn't just Gladiator versus Gladiator. They had, like, animal versus animal, and it wasn't even, like, fair. It was, like, crocodiles versus zebras and crazy stuff like that.
Good heavens.
And they also had Gladiator versus animal.
Right.
And Gladiator versus Gladiator.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
But, Rome, you know, it got better. First day, I was really bumming out. Cause I was like, what's going on? This is not Rome.
Yeah.
But then the highlight was getting up at like 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday and going right to the Vatican.
Oh, okay.
I just woke up. I never wake up that early. And I said, you know what? I'm not just going to lay in bed. So I woke my buddy up and said, listen, we're going to the Vatican to go to Mass, Sunday Mass, and beat the crowds. We got there and we had the whole place to ourselves. And it was so beautiful and peaceful. And then we even got to go, we went to Mass at 7 a.m. because that's the first Mass on Sunday. And then we went to see the tomb of Pope John Paul II. We didn't wait a second. We just walked right there. And I had friends who went later, and they said they waited like 2-3 hours.
Good heavens.
So, I mean, that's the secret for any place you go to pretty much in the world.
Did you make any wishes at the Trevi Fountain?
You're supposed to throw in a coin for the Trevi Fountain. One coin means you're coming back to Rome. The second coin means you're going to find your true love. And the third coin means you're going to find your true love in Rome.
Uh-huh.
And
neither of that happened.
None of it. Well, maybe you need to throw a couple extra coins in.
It's hard to
believe that Johnny Jett couldn't find true love anywhere. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I reckon.
And I think.
All those beautiful women we see inside of that bed.
You think he's dubbing these photos? And
superimposing Pamela Anderson in next to him.
Or the Hilton gal. I don't know. Let's have a true story. You didn't throw any fountain.
I don't need a letter anymore because then I get in trouble.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we remember that.
Well, but maybe he's throwing a few extra coins in the Pacific off of the Santa Monica Pier.
Off of Santa Monica Pier, yeah. Right. That could be it.
Yeah. Well, from Rome, I flew out of the secondary airport, Ciampino, which is, there's no train there. To the other airport, which is Fiumicino, you can take a train. But I flew EasyJet to London.
All right.
Yeah, how'd that go?
EasyJet is just like Southwest.
Right.
Except the plane is bright orange.
Uh-huh.
And the seats and stuff. But the flight attendants are really cool. They board the same way. You know, there's no assigned seating.
No assigned seating.
Either A, B, or C.
Yep.
And it was great.
Good.
No problem at all.
Good.
I think there's another good tip. You're talking about wearing shorts in certain places, and I found that true in the Dominican Republic and a lot of places. If you want to get into these cathedrals, just don't wear shorts.
Oh, yeah, you can't wear shorts. You can't wear sleeveless shirts. In Venice, if you want to go see, what is it, St. Mark's? Yeah, as long as St. Mark's Cathedral, they'll give you a wrap. You have to pay it €1 for a wrap.
It's like one of those hula skirts, like the thing the girls wear at the beaches, what do they call them?
Basically, it's a paper wrap they sell.
Oh, yeah.
It actually doesn't look too bad. But, I mean, whenever you're going to go somewhere like that, in Thailand, if you're going to go to the palace.
Oh, yeah.
You have to rent clothes. You have to pay, like, I think it's like $2 or something.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's common sense. I mean, I don't know. I don't see anybody going to church here in shorts. And, even in Florida, as laid back as it is on a Sunday,
Right.
Yeah.
Well, give us some of the highlights.
Of Rome?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely in the Vatican. You gotta go to the Vatican.
Okay.
And you have to go to Trevi Fountain.
Right.
In spite of not finding true love.
In spite of not finding true love. You most certainly have to go to the Colosseum.
Mm-hmm.
And that tip of not waiting in line will make your experience so much more pleasurable.
Yeah.
Because waiting in that line, you won't be too happy because it was pretty hot out.
Right.
And then right next door is Palatine Hill, and the Roman forums are right there. And you can they're all right next to each other. So that, and the one place I did not get to go, which I really want to go to, and I've never been to, and I'm embarrassed to say, is the Sistine Chapel, which is the Vatican City.
Yeah, yep.
But I've never been there, and it's not open on Sundays.
Open on Sundays.
Yeah. Because that's when I was there, and they're like, it's not open on Sundays.
I'm yeah.
Like, oh, one day I'm here.
Well, next time, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is your second or third visit to Rome?
This is my third or fourth.
Third or fourth, life,
but
yeah.
My first time in, like, 7 years.
Right, right. Okay. So, well,
anyway, we got to run.
Wonderful stuff. Yeah, we got to run. We're up against it. But great chatting with you again, Johnny.
You too. Hopefully I'll talk to you guys in a few weeks.
Stay safe and travel safe.
Thanks, Johnny.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. All right. You've been listening to Talk and Travel with Marcus and Roy on the Travel Talk Radio Network, and you can check out our program schedule by going to www.ttrn.com for the latest guest information. But next week we'll have Neela back with us and Destination Worldview. Peter Flaherty will bring us his first Destination Canada report, and we'll be talking with Julian Harris about his new Photos Guide to Africa. So stay tuned next week on the Travel Talk Radio Network. This is Marcus and Roy saying goodbye for now and goodbye to my guy Buggy, wherever you are.
Talking Travel is brought to you by the Travel Talk Radio Network, broadcast live from Florida's Sun Coast and 24/7 online at TTRN. Now back to the regular network programming process.